case. Even had a cure for her disease been found, their relationship had ended the day she had flung her knowledge of his breed status in his face and accused him of not loving her enough to cure her. He'd told her he was a breed before their wedding, unwilling to go into their marriage with any secrets between them, just as he'd explained what recessive breed genetics were. But, he'd realized later, she'd already known. The tabloid stories had fed her belief that mating heat could cure her. The revelation that Chelsea's Uncle Ray had been aiding the genetics council resulted in the proof that Ray had actually pushed Lauren into believing the stories. Ray had preyed on Lauren's fears and her desperation to live, with the information he'd gained on mating and the mating hormone's ability to reverse diseases, most often incurable. The final year of Lauren's life had been hell on both her and Cullen. She'd been so desperate to live, and he'd understood that desperation. But a breed didn't control mating. He couldn't call it up or force its retreat. And in her final moments, that knowledge had consumed her with rage. After her death, Cullen had deliberately isolated himself, not because of the overwhelming grief everyone assumed, but because he couldn't forget that he had loved her when they married, only to pay the ultimate price for giving someone that much of himself. Even here, in the house he'd bought after Lauren's death, he'd kept his life as barren as possible. He'd worked, slept, and ate when he needed to. He'd fucked when the urge couldn't be denied, but he hadn't formed relationships. The sound of the shower was a faint pulse of life in the house, and Chelsea's presence a vivid splash of color against the dull shadows of the rooms. She too was a reminder of his failures, though, in some ways. Because she was his mate, and that wild independence she possessed wasn't going to change. It was such a part of her that she'd never be able to contain it. And because Lauren had known that even though she wasn't his mate, still, she had known his mate was close.
Who's your mate? I know she's close to you. Do you think I don't feel her stealing my chance to live?
She screamed out in rage, her face twisting with it.
I won't let you have her, Cullen. I swear to you I'll reach out from the grave and destroy both of you.
The smell of her desperation, her pain, sank inside him like a bitter breath. He inhaled wearily. The memory of his hopelessness at that time, of her lost hope and ever-deepening terror as death neared, was a reminder of his failure of his wife, of his duty to her. God knew he had understood her desperation to live, to survive. The spirit would fight for life at all costs in most situations. Even then, despite his own feelings of betrayal, if he could have saved her, then he would have. And every day he'd thanked God that the mating couldn't come alive because of guilt alone.
I'll never let you have her,
Lauren whispered, just before she slipped into a drugged sleep.
Do you hear me, Cullen? I'll never let you have her. All you had to do was mate me. All you had to do was save me from this, and I would have let you go.
Hatred gleamed in her eyes before they filled with terror and tears once again.
You were my only hope.
She'd believed that if he'd just loved her, then that would be all it took. Nature wasn't nearly that kind, though, was it? He was a breed. His life had been filled with the knowledge of his and other breeds' agony and terrors on a daily basis while in the research facility. What he'd sensed from Lauren in those final weeks before her death was a bleak addition to those memories. The ringing of his sat phone pulled him from his musings and back to the present. Pulling the device from his back pocket, he slid it open after checking the caller ID and greeted the caller.
Ranger? What's up?
His second-in-command had charge of the agency until Cullen's return. Whenever that might be.
We have a problem,
Fury filled his second's tone as it came over the line.
Damn it all to hell, Cullen. Someone got to Morales, the surviving cartel assailant. They just found him in his cell, his throat cut. We hadn't even had a chance to interrogate him yet.
Cullen stilled, the fingers of his other hand curling into fists as they literally ached to slam into something.
How the hell did that happen? He snapped back with brutal fury. Did you pull security coverage? Tech say it was jammed during the time he was taken out.
Ranger's voice shook with his own anger.
We took every precaution, and the cartel still got to him.
There was no reason for Cervez to come after his own man and take him out. If the story the assailant had given them at the scene was true, then he didn't have much information to begin with. Cervez would be the one with details, not the muscle he used to get the job done.
Pull in our contacts. See if there's anything out there about the murder. I want to know why, Ranger, and I want to know now. Let me know as soon as you find out anything. How's Chelsea doing?
Disgust still rang in the other man's tone.
And I didn't get a chance to tell you Lauren's parents came by Nation headquarters looking for you yesterday. They caught up with me,
Cullen grunted.
And Chelsea's doing fine. Bruised and sore, but nothing that won't heal in time.
Except the memory of it.
Yeah, Ranger sighed. The Holdens showed up at the house then? They were waiting with Chelsea's family when I pulled in the drive,
Cullen told him heavily, as he swiped his fingers through his hair and paced to the kitchen window, frowning as he stared into the desert beyond his house.
They stayed for a while. Damn,
Ranger muttered.
How did they handle Chelsea being with you? You haven't really had a relationship since Lauren's death.
No, he hadn't. The knowledge that Lauren had deceived him so easily had been too fresh for those first years. Afterward, he'd been too busy running from that gut-deep hunger for Chelsea that he couldn't seem to escape.
We didn't discuss it,
Cullen informed him, his words clipped, cold.
Look, I need to go. Find out what the hell happened with Morales, and do it fast. I want to know who's targeted Chelsea, and I want to know why. That's priority.
Not Lauren's parents, or a past he couldn't change.
Got it, boss, Ranger sighed. I'll check in tomorrow, one way or the other. You still have her breed security for backup? Backup's taken care of.
Cullen stared outside, wondering what the hell was causing the disquiet inside him as he searched for any movement.
Good to know. Call if you need me.
The line disconnected. Absently, Cullen slid the phone closed and returned it to his back pocket, realizing his eyesight was sharpening even as he let it rove over the early morning landscape. The sound of the shower pulled his attention from anything that might be outside and back to the woman ripping apart his nerves of steel. Instantly, his cock was hard, throbbing, pressing against his jeans with imperative demand. The scent of her filled his head, the faintest hint of her subtle heat, her arousal, reaching him as his tongue began to itch. He could feel the awakening of his animal senses as he hadn't before. The stillness of it since he'd arrived at the house with Chelsea the day before was over. There were no great revelations, merely an awareness that when those instincts awakened, he was fully merged with them. His senses were stronger with that awakening, more intuitive. Answers came to him faster, sight, scent, taste, and touch revealing far more than they had before. Turning, he stalked toward the bedroom. The knowledge that Chelsea was holding back from him was startlingly clear. He'd felt it during each confrontation they'd had, just as he'd felt it before dawn when she took him with such need. The need was physical, hollow, lacking the emotion he knew was there. And the instincts riding him weren't going to allow it to go on. If he didn't secure her heart, he'd lose her anyway. If he didn't find a way to push past whatever barrier he could feel between them, then neither of them would find any peace in their life together. He was dominant enough, secure enough in his own sense of self that he knew he'd never be satisfied with this half-a-mating they seemed to have. Cullen did nothing halfway, and he damned sure wasn't going to start with his mate. Chapter 15. From Graham's Journal, Recessed Primal Genetics and Mating Heat. A mate forced to wait is a mate whose retribution can sear with the hottest flames and show the breed the dangers of ignoring the nature of his beast. Chelsea was just out of the shower, a towel still wrapped around her damp body, when Cullen stepped into the bedroom, his gaze hooded as he closed the door and watched her silently. She hadn't expected him to be pleased with her determination to participate in his planned visit to the Cervez compound, but this distant silence wasn't expected either. Nor was it wanted. He let himself believe she didn't know how he felt about protecting her, but she did. She knew the type of man who held her heart. His sense of honor. His need for justice. He was a loner, too intense at times, arrogant and far too self-confident, but that was his nature. That confidence came from experience, training, and the sense of honor that filled him.
I don't want to argue with you, Cullen.
She didn't want to have to feel as though she was a disappointment to him any longer.
Don't you?
He asked her, the rasp of his voice warning her that a growl was on the horizon. Breeds and those growls. They seemed to think that was all they had to do to get their way. She shook her head at the question.
I've never wanted to argue with you.
She held her hands out to him for a moment, before gripping the front of the towel once again.
We're not going to agree on this.
She'd realized that while she was in the shower. A bitter smile tipped her lips.
And do you know what? I can't even figure out why this mating thing even happened with us.
They were so incompatible. Her eyes widened. Lips parting nervously as the growling sounds rumbled with such feral warning, she couldn't help but take notice this time. As he stared at her, the simmering arousal that didn't seem to ever completely ease away began to build in her body. The reaction didn't really seem unnatural. It was just a little stronger than it had been over the years, anyway. Gripping the towel tighter, Chelsea stared back at him, watching as his gaze began to burn with lust. Swallowing past the nervousness building in her throat, she licked her suddenly dry lips and tried to control her escalating breathing. It wasn't easy to do, especially when he sat down in the chair next to the door and removed his boots and socks. Standing once again, he stripped his shirt off, tossed it to the floor, and then with swift, economical movements, loosened his jeans and shed them as well. Chelsea completely lost her breath then. She hadn't taken the time to really look at the body that gave her such pleasure, until now. His chest was broad, his abs flat and muscular. Long, powerful legs were tense, the muscles at his thighs rippling. Between those thighs his erection stood out, thick and heavy. The dark head pulsed with the lust surging through the erect shaft, the heavy veins throbbing in tandem with it. As her eyes widened, Cullen stepped to her and hauled her into his arms, his lips covering hers in an explosion of pure hunger. Cinnamon exploded against her taste buds as his tongue surged between her lips, invading, licking, stroking over hers as flaming need rushed through her senses. Just as quickly he pulled back, ignoring her cry of protest. Instead, his lips brushed over her jaw and moved to her neck, scraping over sensitive nerve endings before moving to the mark he'd left at her shoulder. There, he actually bit her. Not enough to pierce her skin, just enough to send flashing arcs of pleasure racing through her senses. Before she could process the sensual attack, it was gone, and she found herself pushed back on the mattress. He groaned, pushing her legs apart before sliding between them.
I dreamed about eating this sweet little pussy for years, do you know that?
He had? Chelsea stared down at him dazed, because he'd never given her so much as a look to indicate it. The thought scattered as his head lowered, his greedy lips and tongue tasting her sex with hungry demand. A rumbled growl vibrated against her clit and sent a pulse of ecstasy to attack her vagina. Chelsea tangled her hands in his hair, the sudden blistering pleasure difficult to process as his tongue circled the sensitive bud. Licking over it, around it, he toyed with it before drawing it between his lips and sucking firmly. Her orgasm surged through her with a suddenness that was breathtaking. The detonation rippled to her pussy and convulsed her womb. Her juices spilled from her, and just as quickly, he was there. Licking, lapping at the heated moisture, his tongue pressed inside her entrance, his groan sent a vibration of scalding pleasure against her sensitive flesh as he tongued her with quick, rapid strokes. Each hungry thrust of his tongue had her crying out for more, her senses rioting out of control again.
"Cullen!"
she sobbed, her hips jerking against his mouth. Fiery, ecstatic, she climaxed again in surging waves as her hips bucked against each stabbing thrust and hungry lick. The blinding intensity of pleasure came from more than just the act, though, and Chelsea knew it. It wasn't just the sensual, erotic touch alone unraveling her. It was what he did to her each time he took her. That feeling that each time he took her, he possessed more of her heart, had a part of her soul shaking in terror.
"This is all I've thought about, all I've ached for years."
His voice rasped with a rough, dark hunger that had her trembling at the need in it.
"Damn you, you've made me crazy."
Rising between her thighs, he stared down at her, his gaze fiery, sweat-dampened features flushed, lips moist from her juices. Panting, fighting for air, Chelsea stared up at him, dazed as she watched him fighting for control. Cullen? Fighting for control? Until this moment, he had been the most controlled person she had ever known. Before she could make sense of that change, he moved over her, gripping the heavy shaft of his cock and guiding it to the slick, swollen folds between her thighs. They parted over the broad head, opening for him, embracing him as he pressed the engorged crest between them. Watching, drunk on the pleasure, she trembled at Cullen's sudden, desperate need, and she watched as he began taking her.
"I can't be easy this time."
His breaths were sawing in and out of his lungs.
"Oh, hell, baby. I can't be easy."
Easy wasn't what she wanted, though. Her head ground into the blankets beneath her as he began pushing inside her. Short, quick thrusts parted the sensitive inner tissue. Flashing pleasure pain struck at her nerve endings and ricocheted through her system.
"So fucking hot," he bit out between gritted teeth, his expression savage, hewn in lines of fierce male pleasure.
Chelsea's hips bucked into each deeper stroke, crying out at the rapture beginning to whip inside her, stretching her, filling her. He worked his cock inside the snug channel until he completely filled her, possessing her body, and, she feared, her soul. Oh, hell, she was so tight, so hot. It was all he could do to hold back to ensure her pleasure, until he relinquished that final thread of control and lost himself inside her. She writhed beneath him, perspiration dewing her flushed features, her gaze slitted, staring back at him, dazed with the rushing pleasure he was giving her. He was buried inside her to the hilt, her sweet flesh gripping and milking his dick, destroying him. Fuck. What had happened to him? He had more control than this, and he knew it. Where had it gone? His breathing was erratic. Flaming pleasure engulfed his senses. It was so extreme he was on the verge of shaking, trembling in her grip as he felt her pussy rippling around his erection. He was steel hard inside her, his dick so engorged, so fucking hard, he had to grit his teeth to keep from pounding inside her like a maniac.
"Fuck, you feel good, Chelsea," he groaned, pulling back, the already snug channel tightening around him further as though to hold him inside her. "All I can think about is fucking you, touching you, tasting you."
Finesse was not happening, and he knew it the moment he slammed inside her again, feeling her hips jerk, her pussy grasping him, milking at the tortured length of his cock. Her expression was drowsy, pleasure-drugged, as he stared down at her, a wave of possessiveness gripping his chest as he paused again, loving the way her pussy flexed and rippled around his cock. The feel of it pulled another groan from his chest, as destructive waves of nearing rapture raked through his senses and tightened his balls. What the hell did she do to him? What was she doing to him? Mating heat was physical. It had nothing to do with emotion. It couldn't. Could it? Yet no matter how hard he fought, he could feel her pushing at the walls he'd built around his soul. The tiny glands beneath his tongue were doing more than itching now. They were swollen, inflamed with the mating hormone as he tasted the heated essence of it. Thrusting inside her, he gritted his teeth as he fought to hold back, to relish each stroke of his cock in her sweet pussy. He knew he couldn't keep from kissing her much longer and sharing the drugging essence of the mating hormone. One hand grabbed her hip, a snarl of frustration tearing from his chest. Cullen lowered his head as his thrusts became harder, deeper, and brushed his lips over hers.
"Kiss me, baby,"
he growled, his tongue aching for the warmth of that kiss.
"Take all of me."
She moaned against his lips, her hands gripping his biceps, nails pricking his flesh as her lips parted, her tongue meeting his as he stroked past the sweet curves. The cinnamon taste infusing his senses intensified as his tongue stroked over hers. Then her lips surrounded it, suckled at the taste, once, twice, pulling it free in a rich flood of exquisite heat. Cullen slanted his lips over hers, his tongue plunging into her mouth as a growl tore from his chest. His hand tightened at her hip as the last thread of control unraveled. Her knees lifted to clasp his hips as he began stroking inside her, hard and deep, furious, desperate strokes as Chelsea writhed beneath him, hips lifting for each lunge of his erection inside the snug depths of her body. Her wild cries of building ecstasy intensified the blistering pleasure tearing through him as he fought to hold back his release. Just another minute. Just a few more strokes. He wasn't going to last, and Cullen knew it. And he wanted it to last, needed it to last. He wanted the sweet, heated depths of her pussy consuming him forever. Sweat dripped from his forehead, and his balls drew up to the base of his cock as he slammed inside her, over and over. The need to come, to fill her, to mark her senses and her flesh was suddenly so imperative, filled with such primal demand, that as he felt her orgasm exploding through her, his lips tore from hers. He covered the mark at the bend of her shoulder and neck, and rather than just gripping it, he felt the longer canines pierce her flesh instead. The faint, coppery taste of her blood was overshadowed by the cinnamon taste of the hormone. His tongue lapped at the wound as he released his grip on her, feeling her jerking, shuddering beneath him. A second later, a snarl tore from him as his release ripped through him with an explosion that shattered his senses to hell and back. Thrusting deep, he arched his back as a band of pure rapture tightened around his dick. The mating barb extended, the ultra-sensitive erection emerging and locking inside the convulsing depths of her vagina as the explosion shook him to the core. He jerked with each heavy spurt of semen erupting from his cock. The agonizing pleasure shooting through him was euphoric. His release so deep, so strong, he wondered if he'd survive the aftermath. Because in that moment, he realized Chelsea might well hold more of his soul than he could safely live without if he lost her. What the hell happened? How had it happened? Trying to process the physical and emotional quagmire he found himself in wasn't easy for Cullen. Hell, dealing with his emotions had always been something he avoided at all costs. Breeds were stripped of emotions at an early age for the most part, the horrors of their creation and their training teaching them quickly that emotions meant not just the death of one breed, but littermates as well. The scientists and trainers had learned early that even if their emotions were suppressed, breeds were incredibly loyal to littermates. They depended on one another, silently. They learned early to hide it, but those who oversaw them caught on quickly. Breeds knew that if one of them escaped, then those littermates would pay the price. Any attempts to escape resulted in the young being viciously beaten or tortured to death as the offending breed was forced to watch. It was a brutal world they'd been created to be a part of. A world so many hadn't survived. Only the strongest and most cunning of those created lived to see freedom. Freedom hadn't given Cullen the luxury of learning how to deal with everything he'd been taught to push back and ignore, though. Less than 6 months after being brought to the Navajo Nation and given a new identity, a new life, he'd met Lauren and married. The next 2 years had brutalized the few emotions he'd allowed free. When it was over, he had forced it all back and returned to his training, feeling the least amount of emotion possible. And that was why, when Chelsea came to work for him at the covert law enforcement agency, she'd so fascinated him. Because Chelsea seemed to feel everything. She could give him a blank stare and pop off a smart-ass comment, while her amusement would reach out to him, stroking against him like the whisper of a summer breeze. Or she could narrow her eyes, those pretty lips thinning, and the summer breeze would turn to a blast of fiery anger. She didn't wear her emotions on her sleeve, though. Cullen doubted anyone besides a breed could even detect the subtle scents and signs she gave off, unless she wanted them to. She was a strong woman. Didn't take offense easily, and watched the world with interest and a desire to live that terrified him. And she kept her word. That was one thing Cullen admitted he'd been surprised by when she came to work for him. If she said she would do it, she did it. If she gave him a report, then it was, to the word, an accurate accounting of what happened. So why the hell was he having such a hard time figuring out what the hell she was feeling now? He'd assumed with the mating heat that she loved him, but not once had she mentioned the L word or asked for anything resembling a commitment. Hell, she was still giving the impression that the mating and Cullen were more an inconvenience in her life than anything else. If it weren't for the pleasure he knew she felt, and the fact that she said all she'd asked for was to work and fight beside him, he'd have assumed that nature had finally been fucked in her judgment. Now, 2 days later, sitting next to her in a borrowed sedan as she made adjustments to her telephoto sunglasses, he found himself clenching his teeth again until his jaw hurt. She was completely focused on those damned glasses, despite the fact that the scent of her arousal in the closed vehicle had him so hard again, his cock so engorged, it was all he could do to stay in a sitting position.
You want to explain to me why we're sitting outside the police station rather than going in? He asked, realizing he wasn't hiding his testiness. And he did feel highly testy. He still hadn't figured out how she'd talked him into this. He wanted to keep her safely hidden in the house with Draeger, Tobias, and Graham's men covering them, watching for any dangers slipping up on them. There he had his safe egress and means of protecting her that he wouldn't have anywhere else. These glasses are on loan from the Bureau. As she turned to him, he met her gaze through the dark lenses. He was impressed. There was nothing to distinguish them from a regular pair of sunglasses.
Nice, he answered cautiously. But you still haven't answered me.
She grinned back at him before focusing on the electronic pad she held on her lap. The camera built into the lenses themselves has a camera, video and audio. The experimental nanotechnology will follow my eye movements and record and store everything to the e-pad as long as it's connected. She tapped the e-pad. I can do what I do without you standing over my shoulder growling, and you can keep an eye on me and assure yourself I'm safe. Looking from the entrance of the police department, then back to her, Colin gave her a mocking chuckle and shook his head.
You actually believe I'm letting you go in there alone?
Now, wasn't she just the little optimist?
And stop rolling your eyes at me.
Those sunglasses didn't nearly hide her eyes enough to keep his breed eyesight from detecting the movement. I'm a big girl, Colin, she drawled. I can take care of myself. Didn't you say something similar to Graham this morning when you learned he was trying to protect you? The little arch of a brow over the frame of the lens assured him he hadn't misheard the sarcasm in her voice. Trust her to bite his ass with that lecture he'd given Graham.
Chelsea.
He counted to 10. He made it to 5.
Colin.
She interrupted his count as she said his name in a tone so sweet it could have been candy. If you go in with me, no one's going to talk to me. You glare at everyone. He was definitely going to end up cracking a molar, his jaw was so tight.
And there's not a man in that station who's going to believe I've let you out of my sight long enough to question them about anything after that attack on you the day before yesterday, he tried to point out. The world saw me trying to pull you out of that mess, and those men know me.
He pointed his finger at the department in a stabbing motion.
They'll be suspicious.
Her laugh had his cock jerking in far too much interest at the challenge he heard in the sound. I bet they like me much better, she informed him with a smirk. And they'll be expecting me. Without you. Tilting the glasses down her nose, she peeked at him over the frames, her brown eyes sparkling mischievously. Why do you think Ranger always sent me to question the investigating officers whenever the two of you needed statements? Hell, Ranger's probably sitting on his ass waiting on me to send him my report so he can call you and give his report. No doubt that's why he hasn't managed to send it to you yet. He was going to kick Ranger's ass if that actually happened. Not that he doubted Chelsea's word, because he didn't. And he knew the reports from the Navajo police were not nearly as in-depth and detailed as they had been when Chelsea was there. He rubbed his hand over his face, frustration eating at his insides. He didn't want her going in there alone for several reasons, not the least of which, because he knew most of those men in there too, and he knew they were damned perverts. So all you have to do is watch the screen while I go do my thing, she suggested. Every human and primal instinct inside him reared its head in pure male jealousy.
While you do what thing? He bit out, keeping his expression carefully calm.
Even his fingernails were aching, he was so tense. Feminine outrage filled the car with the scent of her offended pride now. Really, Cullen? She asked him, with a little insulting curl of her lip.
Don't worry. I promise to keep my pants on. I'm a little shy like that, especially in public places.
Damn it, I didn't mean to say that.
Patience. He just needed to hold on to his patience. That attack was too coordinated. We already know there's a price on your head. The closer I am to you, the more I can help you and keep the third attack from succeeding. You're making me crazy here, Chelsea.
Of course, your craziness is all my fault.
She gave a bitter little snort of laughter as she turned forward and breathed in slow and deep. It did nothing to still the scent of her outrage and ire, though. When she turned back to him and removed the glasses, meeting his gaze with cool brown eyes, in that second he knew that if he went with his instincts and followed her, he would damage a part of the relationship he wanted with her, and it might not be repairable. "I'm walking in there, alone," she informed him, her voice clipped. "You can watch, or you can go home. Follow me, and when you do go home, you'll be returning without me." Slapping the e-pad on his thigh with enough force to draw an irritated growl from his throat, she stared back at him demandingly. Chelsea knew how to talk to people. He knew that. More important, she knew how to get them talking, how to get information that even those she was talking to didn't realize was pertinent. Detectives tended to give Cullen only what they thought he wanted, just as he gave them. But letting her go in there alone was grating on his instincts like nails over a chalkboard.
"Do you have any idea how much I'll worry?"
He tried to make her understand his need to make certain she wasn't harmed. Her anger eased, but the scent of resigned acceptance replaced it.
"Do you know I worried when you were in the field?"
she asked him then, staring back at him as the soft scent of remembered fear reached his nostrils.
"But I remained at the office, where you said you needed me. Now I'm telling you, you go in there with me, and there's not a chance in hell I'm going to get anyone to talk to me."
In that moment, he knew he'd lost this argument. A grimace tightened his jaw further.
"Stop grinding your teeth,"
she advised him with a little flip of her hand, "before you crack a molar." Pushing the glasses back over her eyes, she left the vehicle, slammed the door behind her, and jogged across the street. Alone. And he hated it. Chapter 16. From Graham's Journal, The Recessed Primal Breed.
"The primal, once active, will never rest, will never sleep, unless his mate is close enough to touch. Only then is she close enough to always protect."
Chelsea tried to assure herself that she was handling the situation with Cullen the best way possible. After all, if they were going to have any peace in everyday life after the danger was over, then she needed to establish her independence early in the game. Cullen had no idea how much she would have preferred to have him at her back as she jogged across the street and into the police department, not to mention being enclosed in the elevator with several unknown men. But if she let herself think about the danger she was in, then the fear would creep in. A fear that would leave her in the shower shaking from the inside out again. So she didn't let herself think about it, didn't let herself consider it. She did what she'd done so many other times as Cullen's assistant, and used her friendship with the officers and detectives she knew to get the information she needed. And everyone was willing to talk to her once they realized she was there. The detectives, for the most part, were friends of the family. A few she'd actually grown up with and been friends with most of her life. The news that the only surviving assailant, Hector Morales, had been killed while in police custody shocked her when Cullen had told her about it. To get to Morales, it had to have been an inside job. Someone at the department either had helped the murderer or committed the act themselves. And she couldn't imagine any of the detectives or officers she knew actually killing a prisoner. She suspected several were on Cervez's payroll. That suspicion was even stronger after talking to them. She didn't get the sense they were involved in killing the prisoner, though. She'd been there over 2 hours,
the sunglasses hanging from the front of her blouse rather than on top of her head. A few of the braver officers actually copped a look at her breasts. She could just imagine Cullen growling each time it happened. Unfortunately, there weren't many details to be found on Morales' death. It happened sometime after 3 in the morning. The guard on duty at the security cameras reported a technical problem when the screens filled with static, and when the cameras came back up minutes later, Morales was dead. He'd had no visitors, made no calls, hadn't had a cellmate, and no one had seemed overtly interested in him other than their amazement that Chelsea had been the intended victim. Though he might have scuffled with a few of the officers at some point, officers who didn't appreciate the fact that Chelsea had been targeted.
"I don't know what to say, Chelsea."
Dylan Rowe pushed his fingers through his short black hair, disgust glittering in his dark eyes. He was several years older than Chelsea, an experienced investigator, and Chelsea had always trusted him in the past. Still handsome, and in good shape if the fit of his jeans and gray dress shirt were any indication. His thick, coarse black hair had a raven's sheen, and his black eyes were invariably filled with amusement. At this moment, his gaze was somber, though, frustration gleaming in it as he tossed a copy of the report on Morales' death toward her.
"What about forensics?"
she asked as she picked up the file, leaned against his desk and opened it, a frown creasing her brow. There was nothing there, just as he'd said.
"Nada."
Leaning back in his chair, hands clasped behind his neck, he shook his head decisively.
"The final report isn't in yet, but my sister is a tech at the lab. I talked to her earlier."
He shot Chelsea a quick grin, his craggy features filling with amusement.
"She says hi, by the way."
Tara had been a hellraiser in school.
"Tell her she still has my favorite pair of boots," she laughed.
Dylan chuckled at the message.
"She said you'd remember those boots."
Then he sighed heavily, lowered his arms, and shook his head.
"I wish I had more."
"What about your informants, Dylan?" she asked him. "What are they telling you?"
"Informants? In the Cervez cartel?"
His eyes widened.
"Really, Chelsea?"
She snorted at the false innocence.
"Tell that to someone who doesn't know how you work," she suggested knowingly. "Come on, Dylan. I know you have them."
He grimaced at the statement before glancing to the door. When he turned back to her, speculation lit his gaze.
"From what I understand, hell hath no fury like Samara Cervez since her daughter Louise's death. Even my informants were surprised when Morales and his men tried to abduct you. The Blood Queen and her family have been completely focused on finding the girl who snatched her kid from those coyotes. Samara hasn't cared about contracts coming in, no matter how much money's attached to them. All she wants is to find that girl and kill as many council soldiers and breeds as possible."
He snorted.
"She's racking up numbers there."
Chelsea stared down at the file, making certain her expression didn't show a reaction.
"She ever find out who rescued the little girl?"
"Whoever that chick was, she's a fucking ghost," he stated with a short sniff of laughter. "Crashed the gates, and the minute Samara and her men turned their backs, she was gone like the wind. All anyone knows is that the vehicle carried the Breed Underground insignia."
He gave a short little shake of his head and another snort of laughter as he glanced up at her, that laughter gleaming in his eyes.
"Has the locals spouting tales about the unknown again, though. So at least the crazies are being kept busy with something."
She had to laugh at that. The unknown weren't the legends everyone believed they were, but she didn't care one bit to have them taking the credit for Louise's rescue. They were indeed like ghosts, though. So much a part of the land that they were almost invisible.
"It was a shame about that baby, though,"
Dylan sighed, compassion filling his expression.
"Whoever the girl is, she deserves a medal. Not the fury Samara Cervez is exploding with in her search for her. She's crazy enough to kill her if she gets her hands on her, though.
Why? Chelsea asked, laying the file on his desk and distracting his attention from her face.
Because the kid died.
He scratched at his cheek, bemusement flickering over his face.
I guess she's getting the heat for that. Same as the council breeds, the Blood Queen's rounding up. Anyway.
He breathed out roughly as he leaned back in his chair again and gave her a heavy look.
I find out anything else, Chelsea, you'll be the first to know. But that's all I can give you right now.
That promise was all she was going to get today, and Chelsea knew it. Thanks, Dylan. I appreciate it, she told him as he rose to his feet. Lifting her hand in farewell, Chelsea left the office, frustration eating at her as she started down the hall to the bank of elevators. Someone had to have seen something or someone where Hector Morales was concerned. Yet if they had, they weren't telling the tale.
Hey, Chelsea, hold up!
A familiar male voice calling out behind her had her stopping and turning quickly. She smiled at the dark-haired, lanky agent heading up the hall toward her. Cute in a studious kind of way, usually too quiet and rarely in a hurry, Ranger shot her a quick grin.
Ranger, are you here to get Cullen's report?
She smiled at Cullen's second-in-command. He strode toward her, looking comfortable in his relaxed jeans, scuffed boots, and nicely pressed white shirt, the sleeves rolled back along his forearms.
Me?
His brows lifted, and despite the teasing tone, she could see a glimmer of seriousness in his gaze.
Hell, I was hoping you'd have already taken care of that. I just dropped in to see if Marcy wanted to have dinner this evening.
Marcy was his longtime girlfriend. Very long time.
Not this time, my friend, she answered, very well aware Cullen was listening to every word.
If I write one, I'll send you a copy, though, she teased, knowing how badly he hated getting those reports.
I'll expect it in a few hours.
He wasn't teasing.
You're killing me with this resignation thing. I spend more time here than I do in the office now, and the officers here don't like me near as much as they like you.
Ranger hated getting intel for Cullen out of the detectives.
Grow boobs, she snickered. That's all they require. Their brains stop and their mouths start. They're really kind of cute when it happens.
And those officers made a running joke of it. Ranger grimaced good-naturedly.
I told Cullen he made a mistake letting you go. I was hoping this thing you two were doing meant you'd come back.
This thing they were doing?
I wouldn't bet on it. And I better be going, Ranger.
She laughed, determined to leave before he managed to piss her totally off with his comments about her and Cullen's thing.
You heading down, then?
He gestured to the end of the hall.
Yeah, I have a few more things I need to get done today, she told him.
You? I'm still waiting for Marcy.
He frowned thoughtfully.
Can we talk for a minute?
That probably wasn't a good idea, but she had no idea how to get out of it without offending him.
Sure.
She shrugged, pasting a smile on her face.
Is everything okay?
For a second, indecision flushed across his handsome face before it cleared, his features settling into determined lines.
I know you're staying with Cullen,
he finally said, his tone heavy with concern.
Uh-oh. This was not a good idea.
Ranger,
she tried to protest.
Listen to me for a minute, Chelsea.
He reached out as though to stop her before pulling his hand back.
Look, there's things you don't know, honey, and I don't want you getting your heart broken over him.
Oh, God. She didn't want to do this. This was Cullen's friend. He was probably Cullen's only true friend.
You're making a mistake, Ranger. Let's not discuss this right now, okay?
She tried to warn him.
Your concerns are noted, and I promise I'll be just fine.
You're so damned stubborn,
he grimaced. But you're my friend. And I don't want to see you hurt, okay?
I won't get hurt.
I know you think you love him. He sighed, talking over her as he stared down at her imploringly. And I know you think he can love you, but it won't happen, honey. Losing Lauren broke something inside Cullen. You'll always be second best, and you deserve more than that. You know you do. Now, this was bad. Cullen was not going to appreciate this advice coming from his friend. He was going to be pissed. Hell, he was probably already pissed.
Stop, Ranger. We're not doing this.
She turned to rush to the elevators, determined to stop the train wreck.
Wait, Chelsea, please.
He stepped in front of her, blocking her way, his face creasing in regret.
He's a hard man,
and he's your friend. He wouldn't appreciate this, and I don't want to hear it.
Tightening her grip on the strap of her pack, she fought to hold on to her temper.
And it won't make a difference. I do what I want to do, period. Now, goodbye.
Come on, Chelsea, you really believe that? You're Lauren's cousin, and he loved her. That's why he brought you into the office. That reminder of her. You're a stand-in for her, nothing more.
The shocking statement had her pausing.
I look nothing like her.
She pushed out the words between gritted teeth.
I am nothing like her. That has to be one of the most ridiculous things I have ever heard come out of your mouth. It's right up there with accusing me of wanting your job when Cullen first hired me. It's idiotic.
Working with Ranger had never been easy, but he'd never gone this far before either.
You're so stubborn.
Ranger shook his head in disappointment.
You know,
he and Lauren knew about that little crush you had on him when you were a teenager. They laughed about it then. How pathetic you were watching him with those puppy dog eyes all the time. You're just as pathetic now.
She wasn't listening to any more of this. She couldn't. Pushing past him, Chelsea strode quickly to the elevators, intent on catching the one slowly sliding open. As the doors revealed the interior of the cubicle, she froze in shock as Cullen stepped out, gripped her arm, and pulled her inside without saying a word. And he was furious. His eyes were flat and hard, the green darker, the amber flecks more pronounced. And she swore he looked taller, broader, as he stood beside her after punching the key for the first floor. Chelsea restrained a groan of pure frustration. She'd actually forgotten about those damned glasses as Ranger kept running his mouth. Geez, she'd known he was a moron for years, but he'd really outdone himself this time. But, despite the hurtful words, she knew, in his own way, he was just trying to protect her. Sort of. Like the detectives and officers at the department, she'd known him all her life. And like her family, he had a tendency to be overprotective and a little too free with his advice. Whether she wanted it or not. Whether she could handle it or not. Reaching the first floor, Cullen led her firmly from the elevator and through the lobby, ignoring the greetings called out to him from several of the officers and lawyers he passed. He was more furious than she'd ever seen him. But she really wasn't so happy herself. Not with him, or with Ranger. Reaching the car, Cullen pulled open the passenger door, and once she was inside, he closed it with enough force that she winced. The drive back to his house was anything but comfortable. The tension sizzled around him, heavy enough that a weaker-willed woman would have drowned in it. Pulling in behind the house, he shut off the vehicle, and rather than waiting for him to open her door, she let herself out of the car, ignoring his dark look. As they entered the house, he closed that door loudly behind them as well.
Wow, she'd never heard him slam doors before. Graham canceled the meeting again, he told her, his tone a dangerous rasp of fury. Cervez won't be at his compound for several more days, and Graham wants to gather more intel before we talk.
A wise decision, she murmured, watching him carefully. His expression tightened further, and she knew that cracked molar was coming soon. He shifted, his feet planted firmly on the floor, legs slightly parted, and the prepared stance had a frown flickering on her brow. What, Cullen? She crossed her arms over her breasts and stared back at him with a glare. Are you going to try to blame me for Ranger's diarrhea of the mouth? Not my fault. That's between you and Ranger.
Do you want him to die?
The hard, flat look in his eyes had her swallowing tightly at the question. He wouldn't really kill Ranger, she assured herself. Look, I know he's your friend.
He lied to you, Chelsea.
He suddenly snarled, his fingers curling into fists for a moment before he pushed them restlessly through his hair.
At no time did I ever hint that you were at the fucking office as a reminder of Lauren. And I damned sure, not at any time, never, made fun of our friendship when you were a teenager.
His jaw clenched and unclenched with furious motions as he glared down at her, his gaze probing.
I would never have done such a thing.
Anger vibrated in the air around him, frustration, and maybe resentment. Maybe he hadn't told Ranger she was a Lauren stand-in of some sort, but it wasn't completely illogical either. But I am your mate now, she pointed out quietly, that knowledge settling heavy in her heart as she watched him. Perhaps the recessed genetics really were the reason he hadn't mated his wife then. When his breed instincts began waking, he'd mated her because she was the closest he could get to having his wife back.
Again, not your fault, he growled,
heated lust flashing in his eyes.
And not something I regret for a moment, so don't even go there.
Why do you think this happened now, then? She asked suspiciously. You had 4 years to make this mating start or to even show me you wanted me. Why now? Why did it just happen now? He prowled farther into the room, coming nearer, not stopping until she stepped several feet in the opposite direction. Answer me, she demanded, despite the lust in his eyes and her own growing heat, as though the confrontation only made the need to touch, to taste, more extreme. Why now? He inhaled sharply, a grimace contorting his expression.
It actually began the morning you gave me your resignation, he told her,
his expression hardening.
The recessed breed instincts hadn't become active enough, though, to strengthen the mating hormone, until I learned you'd been attacked.
She knew how it worked. Graham had explained it to her. When a breed was faced with the woman the animal instinct recognized as its mate, then small glands beneath the breed's tongue filled with a liquid hormone that bound them together physically. According to Graham, her resignation had caused the inner animal instincts to jerk in response and begin awakening. She was leaving him, and the strength of the animal's refusal to allow that had activated his breed instincts. Or, she wondered, had the man's refusal to lose his only reminder of his lost wife started the mating instead?
When I kissed you after learning of the attack, it was stronger. It's only gotten more so since,
Cullen concluded.
This had nothing to do with Lauren, and nothing to do with some fucking insane view Ranger has of how I feel. For God's sake, she's been dead 10 years, he snarled. He's the one with the problem here, Chelsea. Not me.
Tell me why it happened now, Cullen, she demanded, needing to understand what was happening to them and why it was happening now. What made now different? I had threatened to leave dozens of times and you didn't mate me then.
Because I was losing you and I knew it,
he snapped, his expression filling with frustration as he raked his fingers restlessly through his hair.
I felt it when you drew that damned piece of paper from your jacket. You were leaving me.
And she had been. She nodded heavily, refusing to hide from it. I was actually getting ready to leave the nation, she admitted, watching his eyes flare with pending fury. It was Ashley and Cassie who convinced me to wait to see if I could get on with the Bureau. And after what happened with Louisa, she gave a heavy shrug. I changed my mind. She stared around the kitchen, her body so sensitive now, her need to touch him, to be touched by him, only growing.